Hello again, this is Real Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 448. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will surely tell you at the end of the program. The program on tape or CD, whichever you prefer, is absolutely free of cost, including the shipping and handling. We have a very powerful message again for you today. We have some excellent music by one of our quintets, and we've got some excellent testimonies, and very possibly some Bible reading. We've been reading from the book of Judges for quite some time, and we're only to the fifth chapter. And the fifth chapter is primarily a reiteration of the fourth chapter. But right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this program with your spirit. Lord, you live in my spirit, and I love to take the dictates from your spirit in my spirit to mortify my soul and my body and put my soul and body under the control of my spirit, which is powered by your spirit. Lord, I pray that you'll open the windows of heaven and let the light of your word shine into the hearts of those in radio land, whether saved or unsaved, that the saved will be strengthened and the unsaved will be saved. And I ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, now, this is our former quintet. A couple of them are no longer in the church. One of them was killed because he didn't listen very well to a warning. He was out in the street, and the brothers told him, "Watch out, Al, watch out." And he didn't, and he was killed. But there's two of them that are still in the church. And I really love the way they sing. And this is all of our brothers that are playing the musical instruments on this one. And it's called "I've Got My Ticket." All right, I'm gonna ride.
I'm gonna ride away.
Fabulous. We play a lot of records of different artists, but I really think that the artists that God has sent into this church are just the very best of all that we play. I mean, the choir was fantastic, the orchestra, the band behind these boys, and the singers, they just, and there's something about it. You know, a lot of people sing gospel songs, but they're not as filled with the Holy Spirit or devoted to winning souls as these boys were, and some of them still are, and the people in the church are. And there's just something special about those that sing or give testimonies that are anointed by the Holy Spirit. It just sounds better. It just cuts into your spirit a lot more than people that are just singing gospel songs so that they can have a gospel album or a Christmas album to sell at Christmas time. There's so many people that are just singing constantly secular songs and say, well, we must add to our repertoire a Christmas album or something like that, and they never quite make it in my spirit. They don't move me like these boys do, or the Christian singers, those that are filled with the Spirit. We've got a lot of excellent musicians in our church to this very day. A lot of them have stayed and made it pay. And I want to get another group together like this one, because we now have our own recording studio and we've got our own television studio. And some of the boys that I know that I was kind to, there's bus drivers out there that tell me that they're busing around some of these big major acts like Willie Nelson and Razzie Bailey and people like that. And we bumped into them on the road just the other day. We went through Oregon, Washington, and all throughout the different places that I was raised in Montana. And we were up, I can't remember, where was it that we bumped into him? Some town. And he said, "Are you Tony Alamo?" And I says, "Yeah." He said, "You know all the different superstars that I drive the bus for?" Say, "What? I wonder how Tony is. He was always good to the people in the industry. When we were down and out, he gave us jackets from his store, outfits that we could entertain people with. And I wonder how Tony is. He's a real good man, and I'd like him to come and record at our recording studio. If you ever bump into him," and say, he says, "Man, I can't believe that it's you." He says, "I was looking across the counter and I thought, no, can't be." Then he came over, he says, he asked me, "Are you from Nashville?" And I says, "Yeah." And he says, "Are you Tony Alamo?" I says, "Yeah." I says, "God, how can you remember after all these years?" George Jones, all types of people like this, and I helped them and they helped me, you know. And I mean, I didn't ask for them to help me. Except George, I asked him if he wanted to endorse one of my recordings, and he said, "Sure." And I said, "Well, what do you want me to say, you know, in the cash box or billboard ad?" And he said, "Anything you want, Tony." And I said, "Well, should I say that Tony Alamo, George Jones says that Tony Alamo is a better singer than myself?" He said, "I don't care." I said, "I'm not going to say that. Certainly, you must know that I josh around like this once in a while. But anyway, they're going to come down, a lot of these guys, and they're going to bring recording engineers down with them. And H.B. Barnum is going to fly in. And these people, they're bringing in bands and different Christian background singers, and that they want to use my studio down here, or the studio that I'm the pastor of. And they're going to, we're going to get the rafters ringing, you know, with some real good professional singers and our singers through the Holy Spirit. We got to get all of our people together. And, you know, it's amazing. We recorded this quite a long time ago. And it's there permanently now, forever. So you singers that are in my church, get together and practice some of these songs like this, because they really, I don't like a lot of the new songs, because they're, you know, anything that is like has any hint of worldliness in it, I don't like, or worldly licks by musicians. I like it when everything is by the Holy Spirit, because there's nothing, no one is going to be led to the Lord unless it is the Holy Spirit, that it's the Holy Spirit that draws them unto the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Lord, the Holy Spirit will testify of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
But the worldly spirit will not. It just doesn't ring true in my heart at all. It never will. Never has, and it never will. And so you brothers and sisters in the church, get together and practice. And if you practice the kind of songs that I like, then we'll record you. But if you don't, I'll never record you. All right? So practice songs. Ask what kind of songs to sing. Don't just go by what you will, because you'll never be recorded. And once you are recorded, it's permanent. It'll be there, and we can play it forever until the Lord comes. Amen?
Amen.
So you try to dodge around Papa Tony, and not going to do you any good, because you're just headed for nowhere. All right?
Mm-hmm.
I want godly music, and I want it done the way that the Holy Spirit wants it done, not the way that some people in the church would have you do it, but the way that the Holy Spirit wants, and I'm led by the Holy Spirit. So it all has to run through me, the pastor, all right?
Amen.
And if you don't like it, well, then you just won't be a singing. Not on records, not on CDs, not on the tapes. No way, all right? Now we have some testimonies here this evening, and where is the first one from, Michelle?
From Monroe, Georgia.
Okay, what do they have to say?
A man called on in the witnessing line from Monroe, Georgia, very excited about your radio broadcast. He said, "Tell Tony, keep up the good work. You have inspired me and have encouraged me to see you fighting this one-world government beast like you do. I'm a new caller and had to call in because you have motivated me so much. I've been listening to your radio broadcast in Monroe, Georgia. I just heard the program about what they did to one of the members of your church named Buster, how the feds told him if you just stop going to Tony Alamo's church, we'll drop all this we've got against you."
Right, this is religious persecution. And, you know, the government, the actual government, the bylaws of this government, the constitution of this government. Constitution means when something is constituted, that means it's put together. If you have a table that's made out of wood, its constitution is wood. If it's made out of metal, it's metal. All right, we have a constitution that says that we have a right to worship the Lord our God the way that we feel directed by the Holy Spirit. Some people are not, but we're not against that law, because this country was made up out of these good laws. And so if somebody's calling you a cult, you know, the media keeps calling people cults. Well, they're not supposed to do that. I mean, why are they saying that the Vatican, which is actually the Antichrist. Why would they say that that's, exalt that and say that all these small churches, like the church that Christ had when he was here on earth, 12 disciples, why would they call that a sect or a cult? It's because these people are being directed by Rome, and they're biased and prejudiced. Now, the Vatican had a group called the Cult Awareness Network, and they know, the Vatican knows that they are not, according to the way the country's made up, I mean, it's the constitution of the country, that they're not to attack, the government is not to attack any religion. Well, we are to convert people that we know that are not biblical. A person that is coming from the Bible is never a cult. Anyone that is anti-Christ or anti the Word of God, the Bible, the Word of God is Christ. So that's why the entire world has become anti-Christ by the influence of Rome, the world government which it directs, and also the media, which is the mouth of the beast, Satan's mouth. This is Satan's machine. And so, yes, this person heard on one of my tapes, Buster, what they did is they, all of a sudden, without any kind of a warrant, they came busting into Buster's furniture store. Now, everybody in Texarkana loves Buster that knows him. You can't help loving the guy because he's just a real honest, sincere, and godly person. And everybody knows that he was a real riotous person. He smoked, he drank, he was out in the world with females and having sexual relations with them. And he came to a screeching halt by the message that he received from my ministry. And I hadn't met Buster for a long time. It was Tommy Scarcello and Rob that witnessed to him. And they gave him one of my Messiah books, and he couldn't believe it. He kept reading it over and over again, and he said, how can these things be said about Tony Alamo when he's written such a deep spiritual book? Then he started reading the literature, and he got saved, big time. And so he started coming to the church, and I had never met him for months. And people say, did Tony Alamo brainwash you? Because the ignorant people of the world began receiving the things that the media, influenced by the Vatican and the government, say about Christians. So they automatically say, did Tony Alamo brainwash you? And he said, I haven't even met Tony Alamo. I just read some of his literature, and it's really biblical because he has all sorts of footnotes from the Bible in his literature. And I checked them out, and they're all right on. Yeah, they're just absolutely perfect. And so he got saved, and then finally he requested to come over and meet me, and so I said, sure, bring him over. No big deal, all right? And so I met him, and then after all these years now, because of the fact that he was coming to the church and distributing literature throughout the town and was agreeing with the things that the major amount of the people are just... millions of people now believe are the truth regarding the evil of Rome, the one world government, which and their way that they've ignored the constitution that made this country great. Now they just say we can't have somebody this powerful in Tony Alamo's church. So what we do, they ran into, a bunch of them came into it like he was a criminal. And so he's buying all kinds of different goods from merchants that come in. He doesn't I did it when, or the people in my church did it also when we had a place in Fort Smith. And people come and they have merchandise and they show that it's legitimate, and we, and so they bought it and sold it. That's just commerce. That's just commerce. Amen.
Amen.
Now we have articles that the reason that the government burned Waco and killed all those people over there was because they knew they had all this information because they cracked the code of the CIA and the government and found out that these people were bringing drugs into the country. The government. It's not the U.S. government anymore. It's the Roman government. And they were trading guns so that they could get drugs. Before they take over a country, what they want to do is get everybody loaded out of their minds on some kind of drugs so that they become passive. And when they then they take the guns away. Now, we don't have any guns at all, but I certainly believe in the Second Amendment that a person should be able to protect their family and that they should be able to go out and hunt if they don't have enough money and things like that. But I knew the way that the government was getting that we should never have guns, and they kept accusing us of having guns. The government did, the Vatican did, the world government, the Vatican government, and the media kept saying they have guns, they're armed and dangerous. This is a dirty lie. We've been raided many times, these poor, innocent police officers and sheriffs raided our place, and they said, we can't find any drugs, we can't find any weapons, and all the people are real nice. And so the things that the media is saying is false.
Amen.
And so a lady that used to be with Channel 5 came over to the restaurant that we were running in Elma, and she said, Tony, FBI came into our Channel 5 TV station over here and told us all, don't ever run anything on Tony, good or bad, because he will decipher it. They knew that I would decipher it and expose them for what they're saying. She said, now, if you tell this, and they come and ask me, I'll tell them that you're a liar. But they are going around to all TV and radio stations telling them not to say anything about you or to even mention your name. Now, as prevalent as you are in the world, as many pieces of literature that you put out, and sometimes radio stations will let you on that are pro-United States government, but the television stations won't let me on. She says, they will put you on, but they will be threatened by the government that their radio stations will be blown up and all this sort of thing. So this is no longer the land of the free and the home of the brave. There's just a few of us living dolls that are left that will tell you the truth. And when you know the truth, it'll set you free.
Amen.
So long as you continue in the truth. But now this man heard about Buster, and everybody is just so uptight at government and President Bush. And I really would love to see President Bush and the people in the government saved, because the Lord, all the signs of him coming to earth are right slapping people in the face. And I just don't understand why people can just keep going because they're afraid of the Vatican, these Nazis. They are doing the same thing today as they did in World War II Germany. Now, that was only a practice session. World War II was a practice to take over the world. And now, this is the real thing, kiddies. Okay, this is the real deal that they're doing now. They've got all their ducks in a row, they think. But the thing that they forget is God.
Amen.
little old God. They minimize his power, and they make you think that God's power is minimal as well. But let me tell you that it's not, okay?
Amen.
God is going to... I'm going to play a recording here at the end of the program, which is called Daniel Saw the Stone. In the book of Daniel, it shows that the stone is symbolic of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's the Lord's government. And this stone comes rolling down the nations and smashes Rome and smashes the one world government and smashes the media. And everything that is ungodly will be ground to powder. And then the last government, this is the fourth kingdom that we're living in right now. This is not the last kingdom. The last kingdom is the next kingdom that's coming. It's the kingdom of God. And it's the stone, the solid rock Christ Jesus is going to smash this earth and move it right off of its axis. And only the Spirit of God that will be located in your spirit, if you're living according to God's Spirit, in your spirit, only those that are led by the Spirit and walking in the Spirit will be saved and will be able to continue on and will be able to be in heaven. And so all the rest of the people in the world that won't, they will surely be in hell and the lake of fire forever and ever and ever. It never ends. Eternity never ends. So there's an eternity in heaven to gain, and there's an eternity in hell to shun. And yes, it will take effort on every one of our parts. We have to make ourselves or discipline ourselves to be disciplined by the Holy Spirit. And if we are going to make ourselves walk according to the Spirit's, because we make all kinds of effort, unsaved people do, that is, to walk according to their flesh, whatever they want. They want what they want. And the Bible tells us that we have to deny ourselves of the things we want and do what the Lord wants us to do. Mm-hmm. If we're going to dwell with him in heaven forever. He's sick and tired of the people of this world that just do what they want to do and ignore what he tells them to do. And the purpose for him telling to do this is not anything that's going to give any gain to him. It's going to give, it's for your benefit, because he's in heaven forever and you're not. Okay?
Amen.
And if you want to get there, there are rules and regulations. If you work for Wendy's or McDonald's, and you can believe for sure that there's rules and regulations if you want to be employed by the Lord and live with him. And the people, the loved ones that have gone on before in heaven. And so some people are rejoicing when they hear the truth. And the people that rejoice at the truth that they hear from this church, the media says, it's a sect, it's a cult. Don't go there. Why? Because the devil, they're run by the devil, they're powered by the devil, doesn't want you to go to heaven. He knows that his time is short, and that's why he's on the rampage now. That's why you see all the vicious murders of little babies and the wants to flaunt in your face that homosexuals are right, and that people that get married are wrong. And you see them prosecuting people. I like this man from the Latter-day Saints Church. If he did cause somebody to force sex on him, well, then he's wrong. But what about all these, quote, priests? Catholic priests, hundreds of thousands of them that force little 6 and 7 year old boys to have sex with these lewd, evil, wretched human beings. What about them? Why don't we see them being paraded around in Utah or wherever they're at. And why don't we see some persecution, some prosecution on them? Amen?
Amen?
Because they really deserve it. Now, a 14-year-old girl, if she's reached puberty, it's all right for her to be married. Okay?
Amen.
There are even laws in the land right now that say that she can be if they have parental consent. It's a law of the land that you can be married at that age. Yes, into 19 or 20 or 30 or 40-year-old men. It's a law of the land, and millions of people have been married at that age. In the Bible, Isaac married Rebekah. He was around 37, 47 years old, I forget. But his wife, Rebekah, was 11 years old. And it was and out of her womb came Israel.
Yeah? Amen.
Esau and Israel. Now, God said Israel was born Jacob. His name was later changed to Israel. And God said, Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. Now, this is the twin brothers. Jacob I love, but Esau I hate. So, you know, brothers, twins, coming out of the same womb, approximately at the same time. Esau came out first, and Jacob had his hand on his foot and came out and was holding on to his foot when he came out. And the Lord at that time said that the elder, the oldest one, the one that came out first, will serve the one that came out last. And the firstborn has always been the favored. Amen?
Amen.
But in this case, no. And so, Jacob, he lied. He was cunning, a conniver. And he didn't have to be, because the Bible said that Jacob is going to receive the blessing, that God's going to give him the inheritance, amen, rather than Esau, at birth, or even before birth. And so he came to this place after he had deceived his father by telling him he was Esau. And his father loved Esau more than he did Jacob, but the mother loved Jacob better. Jacob, I guess, was a mama's boy. But Esau was a hunter, and, you know, the dads are always proud of these macho guys. And so, all of a sudden, Jacob was convicted, and he began wrestling. The Lord showed him angels ascending and descending to the throne of the Lord on a ladder. And he was out in the wilderness. And he started wrestling with God. And what that really means, I was watching a program called Ask the Pastors. And they were asking, what does that mean? What meaneth that? I said he was under conviction, but they never answered. They couldn't answer. They said, we've always wondered, but we didn't know what it meant. And so I'm going to tell you what it really means. He was wrestling, in other words, praying. When you're praying to God for something, he was scared to death that his brother was going to kill him. And he didn't want that to happen. And he knew that he had sinned, and therefore he was wrestling with the Lord for forgiveness. And he was wrestling with him all night long. And he said, I have to have the blessing. I need to be forgiven. I need to be forgiven. I'm sorry that I lied to my dad. I'm sorry that I did it. I know that I was, it was prophesied that I was going to be the one that would be over my brother. And therefore, I didn't have to go through all those troubles. I must have the blessing. So he wrestled with the Lord on this subject all night long. I want to be saved, in other words, all right?
Amen.
I want to be able to receive the inheritance. I want to be able to enter the kingdom of heaven. I got to have this blessing. And Father, I don't want my brother to kill me for the evil thing that I did. And I'm under conviction because of what I told my father. And my mother was in cahoots with me too. Forgive her also. There's so much to be forgiven for. And he prevailed. The Lord forgave him. But he left a mark on him. He had to hobble around for the rest of his life to remind him, don't lie anymore. Okay? If you sin, God will forgive you. Like, in other words, if you've committed one of the most evil things of destroying your baby, if you've had abortions, you're going to have to wrestle with the Lord on that one, because the country, this Roman Catholic government, this satanic Roman Catholic government, and the cult itself, and the media will tell you that it's all right. But God said you'll go to hell in the lake of fire if you don't get forgiveness. And so whatever evil that you've done, if you wrestle with the Lord and are really eager to get into the kingdom of heaven, you better get a wrestling match going with the Lord. And
you better prevail.
So because of the fact that Jacob prevailed that evening, the Lord called him a prince. Amen?
Amen.
And he said, now your name is Israel, because you have power with God. Amen?
Amen.
Power with God. So you pastors out there that don't know what the meaning of that is, now you do. Amen?
Amen.
God and you and everybody and I, we have to wrestle with the Lord to get the... We have to stand on His Word. We have to stay up if it takes all night, or all week, or all month, or for a year. We've got to get forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
We must be forgiven in order to enter the kingdom of God. And that's sad that pastors don't know that. And those of you that are listening to my radio broadcast, tell pastors about this, because it's a very important message. Amen?
Amen.
It's a very meaningful message. It has to do with salvation and forgiveness. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Now, maybe we could continue with this man's letter here.
He said, isn't it sick what this government is doing to people?
Yes, it is. And the churches are involved with it as well. They need to get in a wrestling match. All you people out there in government and in the media and the Roman Catholics, you see Leroy Jenkins saying, are you a Catholic? Yeah, I'm a Catholic. Oh, well, I just love Catholics. Leroy, you should tell people, that the Catholic cult is the Antichrist. And I really respect you that you have faith and that people believe you are able to get them to where they fear the Lord and that they reach out for salvation. But it's their faith that heals them, not you. The Lord has led me to lay hands on people and they were healed, but it wasn't me that healed them. It was their faith in the great healer, God Himself. Amen?
Amen.
So don't strut around as though you're some kind of a big deal. We're instruments of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Just like the Lord has had me win many millions of souls and set them straight. However, it wasn't me. It was the Holy Spirit in me that directs people to salvation. And the different prosecuting attorneys that are prosecuting Christians and are favoring the Antichrist rather than Christ, you better get in a wrestling match with the Lord too. And you judges as well, all of you. Okay, because no person is going to get into the kingdom of heaven without the wrestling match. You better want to be saved and show the Lord that and prevail and get your forgiveness and your salvation before it's everlastingly too late. So let's continue on here.
He asked to be sent a copy of the latest interview having to do with John Peeler on the Greg Zemanski broadcast, also the newsletter Another Pearl Harbor, and Evil One World Government agents are claiming to be United States agents.
All right, now, do you have another one?
Yes, from Zimbabwe, Africa.
Okay.
Dear sir, my contact with the program Tony Lamo Ministries dates back a few months ago. I have never been disappointed. The messages presented are deep and refreshing to the soul. Every time I listen to the program, I am always being uplifted spiritually. God bless you all for your wonderful works. Yours faithfully, Miss Virginia, from Bulawago, Zimbabwe, Africa.
Praise the Lord. Now, the Bible tells us that God is the Word. The Word of God is God. Because within the Word of God is the Spirit of God, which is God. When you read the Word of God, you'll feel the Spirit of God, if you're receiving it, deal with your spirit. And the Word can and will convict your soul of sin, because that's what the Holy Spirit is supposed to do, is convict you of sin and things to come, and all the other things that the Bible says. So we obtain the life of the Word, in other words, the life of God, from the Word of life. That's why God is our life. If we don't have God, then we don't have life. And Jesus is the Word, so Jesus is God. The Spirit that was in Jesus was God, but yet he was a human being. And this human being now sits above all powers and principalities. He sits higher than anyone in heaven or on earth. And so we obtain the life of the Word from the Word of life. Although the organs of the soul still remain, it doesn't matter. So we receive God's life by accepting him, but still the soul is there and your flesh is there. So although the organs of the soul still remain, these organs no longer function through its power. In other words, the soul no longer functions under its power, because the Lord gives us a new spirit and cleanses us when we come to him for salvation or forgiveness of sins and salvation, the former sins. Then because the soul or the spirit is clean, the Lord enters the clean spirit. He will not continue in a person that is a sinner. You know, you hear all these preachers, these false prophets saying, well, we're all sinners and no one is perfect. They're liars. So, rather they operate by the power of God's word. So if you're not reading God's word, you don't have any power to continue. The power of God's word. This is the salvation of your soul. Now your soul must be saved. So now you're given a new spirit, and the Spirit of God says, I'll dwell now. I'm going to dwell in you. I'm going to abide. The whole Godhead, not just one part of the Godhead. There's only one God, but there are three parts. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit now is going to abide in you. So the salvation of your souls is the Word. And that's why you must read the Word in order to maintain your soul. You have to eat food in order to maintain your body, don't you? And you have to drink some sort of liquid in order to give your body life. And you have to drink the water on the other side of the firmament. In other words, the spiritual water, which is the Holy Spirit, which is incorporated in God's Word. And this is 1 Peter 1:9, the salvation of your souls. Now, human nerves are rather sensitive. and are easily stirred by outside stimuli. Words, manners, environments, and feelings and our own ideas greatly affect us. Well, the Lord doesn't want us to have our own ideas. He wants us to read the Word and receive God's ideas and His feelings and His emotions in us. Remember, amen. Jesus had emotions, amen?
Amen.
So, our mind engages in so many thoughts. Oh, my, there's so many people who come and talk to you about this or that and the other thing. And especially if you're a pastor, you're talking to people all the time. You can't let other people's ideas, their different angles or the thoughts and plans and imaginations affect your spirit or your body or your soul. But it is a world of confusion. And the Bible says that confusion is of the devil. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to concentrate on one thing, and that's God. If we want to live with God eternally, He has to see us wanting to be with Him here. If you're not wanting to be with the Lord here, it's unlikely that you'll want to live with Him in the kingdom of heaven. Our will is agitated to perform many different acts according to our sundry, our many delights and lusts. None of the organs of our soul can bring us into peace with God or peace in our minds or in our souls or in our spirits. You can't have any peace unless your mind is on the Prince of Peace, unless you've invited Him in and keep Him in by reading Him. Him is the Word of God. The Word of God is our life. Amen?
Amen.
And our life is God. Whether it's single or collectively, they disturb, they confuse, they shift us around. Oh, people wake up with different emotions. I can tell when people come in the morning, you know, they say, you can tell by the look on their face, they're not the way the face looks different than it was when they went to bed last night. You know, you can see them, praise the Lord, God bless your sleep, brother. And then they wake up in the morning, there's this, something has agitated their soul or their spirit to the point to where they're on some kind of trip. Amen?
Amen.
And I'm going to have to continue this message tomorrow, so make sure you tune in because my time is up. And right now is the time that, you know, we need to have power over our spirit, our soul, and our body. And the first step in doing so is to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word, as your God, so that your God will have power and dominion over you. And He should be, because He's the one that created us. Amen?
Amen.
And He should, not for His sake, but for your sake. Amen?
Amen.
So that's what you'll want to do now. And if you really do, then say this prayer to the Lord. This is the beginning of salvation. Okay, say to the Lord, my Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that He died on the cross and shed His precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. The Lord shed His blood, His hands shedded blood, His feet shedded blood, His side shedded blood. He sweated tears of blood, or sweat, and His tears came out His blood. He shed His blood for you and for me. And so wash all my sins away in Your blood, Lord Jesus. You will not turn me away. you said that anyone that calls upon you will be saved. And therefore, I know that you've heard me, and I know that you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for giving me a new spirit. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, Father and Spirit, for dwelling in my spirit now. And I'm going to keep reading your word so that I can continue having your spirit with me eternally. And I praise and thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Praise the Lord and thank you, Jesus. Now, Sharon, tell everyone in Radioland how they may receive a copy of this broadcast, number 448.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Now, praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo saying tune in tomorrow for another powerful program explaining how you are able by the sharp two-edged sword to separate your soul from your spirit. And remember that I told you in this message that Daniel in vision saw the stone, the fifth kingdom and last kingdom, coming down and smashing this kingdom that you see reigning on the earth. And here is our quintet to sing for you with our musicians. Daniel saw this powerful stone.
I'll tell you the reason why. For my God, he might call me, and I wouldn't be ready to die. Well, now Daniel saw the stone. Well, roll in the Babylon. Daniel saw the stone. Hewed out the mountain coming down to redeem the mighty world. The mountain coming down to redeem the mighty world.
My God, he was in me, the Holy Ghost here and there. But my God said to Jesus, he said, come on and let's make
way. Somebody's calling you, now you better run. Somebody's calling you, you better run. Somebody's calling you, and it seems like my time ain't long. Yeah, now long, time ain't long. Oh, well, now you better run. Well, somebody's calling you, now you better run. Somebody's calling you, and it seems like my time is low, low, time is low. Oh, well, now meet me, Jesus. Won't you meet me in the middle of the air? Oh, and if these wings shall fail me, I want to hitch on another path. Well, you better run.
That's what I'm saying.
Somebody's calling you, now you better run. Somebody's calling you, and it seems like my time is low, 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 time is low.
Oh, well,
collection, cause you had your mouth open.
I'm looking for a stone. You got the mountain coming down the road.